Hello.
Taylor, out of darkness.
Thank you.
This is God. Stop touching yourself.
Don't.
Is that why we're 18 plus? Was that one joke?
Yep.
Yeah, that's the only reason.
Also, I want to point out that I specifically asked for a large room if I was going to do this.
I didn't ask for a wide room.
Share the microphone, you motherfucker.
The way everybody's organized here, though, this points out why movie theaters have assigned seating now. Right. Everyone has to have the four seats, and no one wants to, like, share BO with anyone.
No.
It's a con.
Like, guys, it's a con. You guys share your biospheres, yes. Make it a gift. From me to no. Hey, this panel is called Are You There, God? It's Me, Pazuzu. We're going to talk about religion and horror. What we are is a bunch of horror nerds of various stripes. My name is Joshua Knight. I have been a co-host of a podcast that, for my sins, is called Horror Show Hot Dog. We just finished, episode
480-something?
No shit, really?
A bit, yeah, been at it for about 12 years. You know, over 1,000 horror movies. Thank you. It is kind of like when I say I have a podcast and people go, oh, really? It's like, yeah, but I'm a middle-aged guy. It's the same thing as saying, like, you have a sandwich. Like, it's not anybody can have one.
Right.
It's just the people that choose to. So I will let the rest of these folks introduce themselves, but that's me and my bona fides such as they are.
Bona fides. Hello. My name's... Oh, yeah, you're right. I am kind of soft-spoken.
You are soft-spoken.
Soft-spoken.
You're screwed.
Not yet. That's from there. My name's Tiner Cisco. I'm a writer and producer, and I love horror movies. Those are my bona fides.
Sweet.
And it's good to be wider rather than longer.
I've heard that.
So I've been told many, many times.
I got to work on my pelvic floor. I don't know.
Right? You want that, like that tuna can
big
going in.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Girth.
Girth. Yeah, it is.
Hi, I'm...
Yes, we...
Hello. I'm Maggie. I don't really have any credentials, except that I spent, 15 years with this motherfucker watching street cred movies. So I love horror. I've loved horror for a long time, and I especially love religious horror. So I grew up Catholic, so it has a whole different connotation. So, yeah.
Yeah, I made her watch Solo while we ate dinner.
Yeah.
Yeah, right?
If you, what did you serve?
Chicken. You want something as far away from what's on screen as possible.
It wasn't a plate of shit.
It wasn't just like soft serve, chocolate sauce.
That was dessert.
You're giving away all my recipes. Hey, I'm Matt. I am also on Horror Show Hot Dog with Josh. Big horror fan for a long time. I've tried to watch a wide breadth of things, either personally or for the show, and so hopefully that will help me here, because it sure hasn't made me any money in life. So
no, we'll see. Fair friends.
I'll have you know, our podcast has
dozens
ones of Patreon subscribers, and it pays for hosting.
You have a Patreon?
Oh, yeah.
I have a Patreon.
That's so cute.
There was a time that mattered.
If you're going to Patreonize me, you could at least subscribe for like a dollar. So before we get into it, I should say, I was raised fundamentalist Christian, not quite the women shouldn't be allowed to wear pants style.
I mean, they shouldn't.
But adjacent, right. So pretty solidly fundy Christian until I went to my first anthropology class and then met my first gay person and then started using my brain. So I started out with a very strict faith and ended up with pretty much none. Do the rest of y'all want to talk about your faith or lack thereof? There are no wrong answers. Here, take this one because you're quiet and it's loud.
Ooh, it is very loud.
Yeah, we just get so around. Like, there you go.
Here you I was raised apostolic, which is like evangelical without the fun parts of like Baptist.
What's
but like
the fun part?
The fun part, evangelical?
Yes.
It's got to be something or else why do they keep making more of them?
That's true.
It's like idiocracy.
That's true.
Right?
I'm getting some dancing.
Yeah, they're having litters of those fuckers out there.
Evangelicals can and evangelicals do. Evangelicals. Okay, go ahead.
And then I kind of moved away. I graduated college at a time when we had some issues over in the Middle East. Keep that nice and Sorry.
What are you doing?
No, because so remember those Neutral commercials?
I wasn't. Oh, yeah, I was so talking about the microphone.
Commercials for this alcoholic beverage called Neutral, and they star Chloe Fineman as like an ambiguously European lady, and I love Chloe Fineman. She has this SNL sketch where they're doing like road rage, mm-hmm. and they're like, "Roll down your window."
Oh, and
she's like,
yeah.
"You suck." And she does both. And I was like, "That is the greatest." Slightly obscene, but like plausible deniability. Yeah, but then when I graduated college, at the time, because of the strife in the Middle East, I was like, ooh, instead of just being a communications major, I'm gonna get a minor in theology. And then they're like, you can just double major. So I got a theology degree. And then I got really interested in religion as a concept and philosophy and how it's all messed up. And a lot of people call themselves like Christians are really lowercase c because they haven't read the book, because that Jesus dude, he was actually kind of hip. Didn't look like George Harrison, looked more like, you know, Yaphet Kotto, but that's yeah, so I would call myself like still like in the mix, just not denominational mixy. I think.
Note to self, that's what actual bona fides are.
Right? Yeah, bona fides.
Well played.
I did not go to college, but I was raised Irish Catholic. Which is a little different.
That's the best kind.
It was a fun kind, I can tell you that.
You guys get like, that just got to drink.
Yeah, he gets
to a lot. No, there was a lot of drinking, a lot of swearing, whatever. But I would say I left the church right before I got confirmed. And the only person in my family that's not confirmed, which is a badge of pride for me. Pretty much my entire family are now atheists, so... but a lot of like what I love about religious horror is seeing if they get the theology right. Because it's really, it can be really generalized really easily, but a lot of it's like, no, that's not like that theology is completely wrong. But yeah, anymore, I would say agnostic, edging, atheist. Anymore.
Say edging again.
Edging.
We're no legs there. Parents were Roman Catholic. My mom had to convert to marry my dad because they wouldn't marry her in a church because she was Lutheran.
Oh my so, God.
That was cool. They were actually pretty chill. Like, we have, you know, gay family members and all that. None of that's been an issue, like the gross shit. But still, like, my dad does like the perpetual adoration thing. He goes in once a week for like an hour at 3 a.m. and just sits in a place with candles. I did 8 years of Catholic school, and yes, I did it like time.
I only made it once.
It was rough. Really boring. I had a class size of 24, so it's hard to dodge the nun's attention at that size. Atheist, used to be angry about it, and then you realize there's not a lot of energy to be put into that's useful. So yeah, still an atheist, but honestly, like, I find a lot of people get a lot of comfort from things, and while I don't get it, the only time I get upset is when people vote, and they vote incorrectly, based on magic. So, you know, otherwise I try to get along.
I remember you saying to me, this is years and years ago, that nothing produces more atheists than Catholic school.
Yeah. It's a fast track, because you actually have to read the Bible.
I was kicked out after one year, so you made it a lot farther than I did.
Stop thinking the Bible is like the inerrant word of God, is to
read it. Yeah.
The whole thing in any modern translation.
That's folklore.
Yeah.
It's easier that way.
So what made me start thinking about this panel is there has been a spate of religious horror movies recently, and some of them are directly linked to some older religious horror movies. So I found it really interesting in the course of a couple of months we had Immaculate, which was Sydney Sweeney's movie about like a sect of the church that was trying to forcibly bring the Messiah by impregnating someone with blood they had cloned off of a holy relic and some shit. And there was no supernatural element to that, really. It was just
legit.
The people in the church believed this thing to be true, right? Mm-hmm. But then in The First Omen, you had the actual church trying to bring about the end of days by breeding the Antichrist, and that was explicitly supernatural, but it was a follow-up to the original Omen, in which the bad guy is like a satanic sect, and in this, it's more of the like the movie Constantine version where the church is the bad guy. So all of those things I want to kind of talk about, like the church is the bad guy, the church is the good guy, does the supernatural matter or not in a modern setting? Like, I don't know, we can start there. Somebody say a thing, that's so I stop.
I feel like it's interesting that if you look at like The Omen or The Exorcist, anything like that, it was always built in a hero worship kind of thing for the church. And I think that it's interesting, however many decades later, now it can go either way. It can be a little more ambiguous as to whether or not the church plays the villain or the hero. As or if you think about it 40, 50 years ago, that would have never flown.
Yeah.
Ever. And I think that that's cool as far as our growth in horror.
Although it's interesting, though, that there's...
Yeah, make it weird.
I think it's interesting, though, that even in those older movies where the church is the force, like the institution of good, and, you know, like, Father, thank you, the movie Repossessed. I was like, Father, may I? Those are the good guys, right? But it doesn't help because God never shows up for them
exactly.
Any more than he shows up in these newer movies. So yeah,
well, and the application of that, the idea of having a belief system that people are varying degrees of fervent about, that is the even if you start in some of these movies from a position of doubt or atheism or whatever, like we see in some of the classics as well as the newer ones. Actually, the newer ones, it's usually someone that has faith.
Mm-hmm.
It's just being exploited. But like, you have this set of rules that even if you don't like the church, you know that eventually you're going to get stuck going to a Catholic priest because they can do the exorcism. So what if you're wrong about everything you think about how the world works? You might as well try this one. And the thing I found interesting this year with a different movie that is in its way religious horror was When Darkness Falls. Which, in all regards, awesome, yeah, it's a great movie, is very much a religious horror movie, but it's a religious horror movie in a world with no God. No one will show up. They have all these rites and things they have to do, but it does the same thing of, you can scream for help into the night, but there's no one to hear you. And that maybe has become more de rigueur for the more recent stuff.
Well, it's kind of like what Josh just said, though, is that like it doesn't matter because God doesn't show up. So is that a new thing, or is it just more blatant now?
Right.
Like, and when evil lurks, when it's like, you can have your old priest and new priest, and you can have your fancy, like, exorcist kit, but the evil's everywhere, devil's everywhere, you're fucked as soon as you
right,
open
it doesn't
the box.
Matter.
Right, yeah.
It's actually pretty nihilistic, which is rad.
What is that subtextual there, right? Ooh, that's a 50-cent word.
There you go.
Because, like, the older films, like Exorcist, the original Omen, there's this idea of, like, title versus task, because the Exorcist and Omen were trying to get you to respect the title. Like, the priest
correct.
Was good because they were a priest.
Right.
Or, like, the nun is good because they are a nun. And they were the underlying motivation, right, for the Exorcist is to scare audiences towards the church.
And
by saying,
worked.
Like, holy shit, even the Exorcist can't beat this guy. What chance do you have? You better get your ass down to the temple on, or, wait, yeah, they don't have Jews in those movies. You better get down to the...
No. No,
yeah. You gotta go to church. And then now it's more about tasks. Like, hey, like, the priest can't help you. This evil's too good. It's on you. So more of that individualism, which, considering what is happening in the actual Catholic Church,
right.
Definitely want to kind of push away from, like, oh, that guy's a priest. I want to think more about what that title means.
No, I think that was very intentional.
He's the only one who can keep my children safe.
Yeah. Entrapment. All those young boys in their pretty robes.
So you do have, like, some of the newer stuff, I think, along that line. Yeah, maybe it is that we don't have, you know, it's the argument from authority and the older stuff. Because at the end of the day, despite all the protests from, like, religious groups for some of those movies, they are doing exactly that. They're always, the good guy at the end that's winning is the church. It's God, you know. And now it's more like we've got these films like When Evil Lurks and some other stuff where it is the task. So you've kind of got exorcism by way of Charmed, where you have to, like, collect the right amount of things with your two hot sisters and mix them in a thing and, like, create your anti-devil spell, which kind of breaks the mythology.
But it's also way more fun.
Yeah. I mean, Supernatural
arguably.
Didn't last so long for, like, a dumb reason. Oh, wait, it did.
It's
but still.
They were very pretty.
What was the movie that we watched recently that was an exorcism or a possession story, but it was very clearly an alcohol, like a symbol? What we're seeing recently is there are movies that use possession as a stand-in for something else. Like, this was a curse that was passed down in a family.
Oh, with the three sons, yeah.
And the dad has three sons, and one of the sons, after dad has drank himself to death, is acting a lot like dad. And is it in a demonic way? He has the same sickness that dad does.
Or is it just the demons?
Right, or is it just the booze?
Isn't that the main plot to Heels? The
Heels?
Netflix show about amateur professional wrestlers.
Oh, I've not watched that.
Probably.
I find it interesting, though, this idea of, like, there's the ritual, and Catholic Church is really good for that. Like, yeah. You don't have a Baptist.
It's very theatrical.
Well, yeah, like, you don't have a Baptist exorcism story because it would just be, like, the preacher coming in and shouting a bunch of nonsense and then leaving. Like, right. And God would show up immediately and just you know, drive the thing out. Like, and, I mean, you could have, like, gospel music. That would be nice, of course. But I find it interesting you have the ritual that people are still trying to control the supernatural with these rituals, and they are more often failing. Like, When Evil Lurks is a good example of that. Mm-hmm. One of my favorites recently, though, on the other side of that was Dark Song, which has most of the movie's runtime is doing an incredibly elaborate ritual to try and summon an angel. And at the end of it, like, sorry to spoil it, but it works.
Right.
And then the movie deals with having like a
the repercussions
full-on angelic creature materialize in the middle of a room. And like, that's pretty fucking rad, but that is something you hardly ever see, is the side of good coming in. Like, otherwise you get like a stigmata where it's the good guy, but
right. Oh, no, I was gonna bring up Stigmata.
That is one of my favorite movies of all time. But like, I wanted to be that bitch so bad.
I went to
hair school because I wanted to be that bitch.
She was super hot, but they were trying to make like super
legit.
Scary. And I thought that
was Jesus was freaky,
Jesus
and then yeah,
horrifying.
Like, he was out to fuck you up. Like, if you had a Hellraiser movie where somebody got stabbed through the hands and through the feet and through the side.
No, it was
like
metal as shit.
Head.
It was amazing.
Yeah.
It did not get its due. That movie is so good.
And the Lord said, I have such sights to show you.
Oh, I'd go.
How do you, because it wouldn't be this, it would be like, tink, 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 tink. That's the, like the pinhead version, you know.
I do want to push back just a teensy bit on the idea that it has to be Catholicism. Because
okay.
Catholicism is so worn out because it's opera for theology.
Oh, it is. There's theatrical queen.
You got fucking the dude with the thing and the smoke and the incense. And
yeah.
Like, I mean, it's the child fucking alone
thing.
Is like a Zeppelin concert. Like, it's crazy.
That's the only thing that's fun about Mass. Is how
child
theatrical.
Fucking?
No!
The pedophilia.
I mean, yeah.
Good God.
We don't
no, I meant
shit,
the theatricality.
Jesus.
Calm down.
But I think because like Stigmata, one of those themes, right, or the main theme that like Monster Jesus is trying to push through like cute little Arquette was that like it's become too theatrical.
Monster
it's,
Jesus.
That's what he was. He's Monster
oh,
Jesus.
That's amazing. That's my new band.
This Sunday at the Megadome, Monster Jesus.
Well, she dropped into that Undertaker voice when she
yeah.
was speaking Latin, and it's like, why does Jesus sound super scary and kind of sexy? That's it was super weird.
Not in,
but that was the thing, right? Is that the Catholic Church was like corrupt and taking too much money, and they're too.
No, it's absolutely about the corruption, which
and
was.
And that's why I think of Baptist movies.
Yeah.
Like, Catholicism's like opera and like a Vienna opera house, and then like Baptist exorcisms. That's like a fucking like house party, but like an 80s movie house party.
Let me say like a fiddle and some spoons.
Right, somebody's handling a snake. Right?
Oh.
That's Pentecostal, you silly bitch.
They're speaking in tongues. They're eating the cats. It's a weird party, man.
So with all the sillier, lighter side of this, the Pope's exorcist, right?
Yeah, Pope's exorcist.
That kind of, yeah, it was a great time. Like, that is, it's dumb. It's so dumb. Like, it's, all right, it's not exactly.
Well, that's when you go, like,
it's not Shakespeare.
Down.
I mean, I love the movie, and I'm not trying to yuck anybody's yum. I'm just, whatever, spouting opinions because they gave me a microphone. But that was, to me, really fun and refreshing, specifically because it didn't really have much agenda, it seemed. That seemed kind of like the equivalent of just like the Brendan Fraser, The Mummy, just like an action romp, but you know,
for fun,
chubby priest fights demon. And you know,
I'm calling him chubby.
I mean, I was trying to be kind.
Dude, Russell Crowe will fight you.
That's true.
He's cool. He's always listening.
That's always been true, I guess.
It's a dad bod.
There you go. Oh, God.
No, he's
it's
a chubby
it's a father bod.
It's a father
bod. Give me a skinny priest and a fat priest.
An applause break for a pun.
Look where you are.
I know. You are
These
our
are
hopes.
Our people, yeah.
Oh.
But it is true, though. Pope's exorcist. Which I always because I want there to be something called a sexorcist.
It exists, I promise.
It's fun because it has that, like, it is just kind of a superhero movie, or it's a Columbo movie. Yeah. Right? Like, he is the most unprepossessing person. And watching somebody who doesn't seem like they know what they're doing suddenly know what they're doing is super fun.
He kind of clues serves his way to the end.
Yeah, it's like, it's the Columbo thing, it's the, you know, the Ace Ventura before the terrible transphobe ending, where he's just like, he is always right about everything, and nobody gives him any credit until they absolutely have to. So, like, that's fun, but by the end of it, it gets into that, like, once you have a very reliable method of defeating these creatures or monsters or entities, then suddenly it doesn't feel like a religious movie anymore, because it feels like you need that struggling against something you can barely understand and barely beat, which was why, like, Conjuring 1 for me was really freaky, and Conjuring 3 was like watching X-Men Age of Apocalypse. Not even one of the good X-Men movies.
Yes.
She could just like look at somebody and crawl inside their life and relive it and go, oh, I see what we need to do.
Right. That was just another way for the Warrens to scam people posthumously.
I wonder if the kind of sillier exorcism movie is the, like, sneakier way to get to the same end that so many of these movies that we talked about, where they're shifting to the idea from the church being the ultimate source of good and kind of the good side winning, to showing the church is flawed. Maybe that's the kind of, like, kid gloves way of presenting the same idea. Like, see, they're bumbling and they're stupid, so maybe the church doesn't have all their shit together, but he's a nice guy. Like, you can watch your
approachable.
What are you gonna do? Go Episcopalian? Like, come on.
Be realistic.
Cover dish supper.
I mean, that would definitely be the case for The Unholy. Did you sit through that? With Jeffrey Dean Morgan and Cary Elwes as the Archdiocese of Boston doing a Bostonian accent.
Oh, God, no. So you got Cary Elwes with a masshole accent is, I might have to see that.
Guess what we're doing.
But it's the same thing. Like, they're very bumbling. Jeffrey Dean Morgan's investigative reporter, but he's, like, got his demons. And then there's unholy shit happening. There's possessions and creepy stuff. So they call in, like, the church to cover it up. And, of course, they send in Cary Elwes.
Who wouldn't?
Who makes Pete Griffin sound subtle.
I'll have to add that to my list.
It's just from, like, Boston by way of Essex, you know? Like, just a little bit to the left.
Do you think, like, what do you think the reason is? Because I feel like religious horror kind of fell off in the 80s. Do you know what I mean?
I would say 90s, yeah.
Yeah, 80s, 90s. What do you think the reason for the resurgence is?
Bodily autonomy.
Okay.
Ooh, okay.
I feel like that's the safest guess would be from watching, you know, First Omen and Immaculate, where you have women trusting authority to do right by them, and the authority is saying, we are doing right by you, by our definition, but not yours.
Mm-hmm. Like, look over here while we do this.
In that system and that cycle, they're unable to do anything to help themselves, because you'd need someone of authority who's already in the position of what's oppressing you to try to help you out of it, and they are not interested in that. That's my guess, anyway.
That's why I found I like the dichotomy, and that's another asshole word, but, you know.
See, he said 5 cents.
What I meant was the juxtaposition between First Omen and Immaculate.
Right,
because you have an Immaculate is just like, you know what? Fuck your plan.
Right.
My body, my choice. I'm gonna give birth to this baby and smash it with a rock.
Because I can.
Take that, Catholic Church. In First Omen, then you have, I'm going to give birth to this baby. I'm just not gonna give it to you if I have any choice in the matter, right? So it's not even just it is bodily autonomy, but it's not just that choice of having the baby or not, right?
Right, I mean, it's just in general, like, letting women, you know, letting is the wrong word, I'm sorry, but, you know, recognizing that women are separate people.
What?
You know, and
thanks
we've got
for
one right
us.
Here, man.
Where? That's crazy.
Fuck your shit up.
Wait, your gender is Maggie.
Gleefully, Maggie Higgins, if you have.
But I think I lean in the middle. I'm going to be the half. I'll be the 5 cent asshole.
There we go.
Ooh, that's a good exchange rate. 15 cent asshole. There we go. That's the 90s.
All right.
Because you think it go way back, right? Like Rosemary's Baby.
I was literally just about to mention Rosemary's Baby.
And that was basically all about, like, bodily autonomy and choice and whether or not a woman
And I agree with that, like, even back then, like, the body, because, like, horror as a genre in general, you can look at the political climate that was going on during the time that these movies were made, and it's either really in your face or it's, you know, a little more subtle. But yeah, Rose, I was going to say, like, Rosemary's Baby was literally right before Roe versus Wade. And so I wonder if that has something to do with, even in the past, like, couple of years, with this resurgence of,
well,
that.
Getting the prequel, Apartment 7A, I'm sure was no accident for the climate of the world right now, too.
Right.
Surprisingly good sequel or prequel.
That's another, like, what if Rosemary's Baby, but Rosemary has agency?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And she's able to get a victory, but we still can't figure out a victory that lets everyone live.
Right.
But part of that may just be that she's not in Rosemary's Baby, so she had to go somewhere.
That's true, yeah.
Right?
You can't do like a George Lucas and have her force ghost into Rosemary's Baby.
Just riding a dewback somewhere.
Riding a dewback is the quickest way to get pregnant, I'm just going to say.
It is. I have two kids.
Wrap that up.
I'm not flexible enough.
That's true. I think it's interesting, though, too, like, again, we're talking about this resurgence and kind of going back to, because, like, my wheelhouse is, like, the 60s, 70s. Mm. Religious horror, that's my jam. And talking about the aftermath and the repercussions of, like, The Exorcist, you talk about, I mean, the Catholic Church experienced this massive, massive influx. And then, you know, The Omen did the same thing. That's not happening now.
I wonder how straight a line you can draw from that, from like Exorcist and Omen to Satanic Panic.
Oh, it's direct.
It's got to be.
I think it's direct. Yeah. 100, especially because you look at like when during the 80s, that was like the heyday. You got all of like, you had Michael, you had Jason, all that kind of stuff, and I think that, you know, I think like Dungeons and Dragons was a direct, you know, offshoot of that kind of stuff. But I think it's a direct line to Satanic Panic, 100%.
I'm trying to remember now, if people here have seen, I think it's available now, that documentary on the Satanic Panic, what was it just called, Satan Wants You?
Something like that, yeah.
We saw it at some festival last year. It's a fantastic film if you are interested in that topic and like documentaries. It was really, really well done and really... is a bummer. So it's, you gotta be in the mood because a lot of people's lives were ruined based on that.
When you look at the West Memphis 3.
Yeah, well, it's weird. Like, having lived through it, like, I remember all those, like, stories and all the crazy shit. I had a coworker 10 years ago that's like, oh, I grew up in Wisconsin and there were all these babies that got abducted from the local hospital by Satanists. And I was like, really? Like, how much? Oh, like, all the time.
All the babies.
I'm like,
all
how shitty was your all security? At some point, you lock the door and it's Wisconsin, but, like, have someone else guard the hut while you go get, like, cheese curds or whatever.
At the same time,
like, how
is
there anyone
Wisconsin.
Left in Wisconsin?
I mean, it is Wisconsin. They're like, you know what? If you want these.
That's enough shrimp.
Like I find that amazing that there was, like, a very quiet culling in Wisconsin.
Right. Well, that's always the question, right? It's like, if there's this many, like, babies that were sacrificed or whatever, where are all the parents still looking for their children?
They're
like,
not.
They're not, because they don't exist. Like,
yeah. Or why is the population not massively dwindled?
Yeah. It's like going to a fast food restaurant at 2 in the morning where they're tossing the fries, or like a 7-Eleven. Like,
you get a baby.
You can eat that.
You get
wanted.
A baby.
Go ahead. We're just
eat it. Do whatever you want.
Anyway.
But with... And again, the whole idea of the Satanic Panic being informed by that, I would guess if you had to be terrified into joining a church, you're probably going to respond most to the most terrifying stuff from that church, which would make sense to me. That's amateur psychology. I'm like Lucy with a little sign on the sidewalk. That's about my level of psychology.
Well, that's Catholicism's M.O. I'm going to scare you into coming here.
That's a good point.
Well, even
yeah.
like the sociological track.
Ooh, 15's an asshole.
There it
the
is.
The sociological track, too, is like, if
we're
you look
right
at like
the here.
Sexual revolution of the 60s, or even
yeah,
like
sure.
women moving into the workforce at the end of the 40s and then staying there through the 50s
yeah.
and
mm-hmm.
the sexual revolution of the 60s.
Access to birth control.
And then like sexual freedoms of the 70s, mm-hmm. they were losing their grip on what to scare you with, because it wasn't like, well, you can get knocked up. They're like, yeah, I'll have a baby. Like, but what do you do if there's no man? Like, I'll just.
I'll
yeah.
just still have a baby.
I'll just continue
so
working twice as hard.
Really
yeah.
be afraid of communism. I mean, we tried.
We had zombies for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, definitely Satanic Panic was just like, all right, this is a new big scary thing. It's like, well, what about, like, the devil? They're like, oh, all right, we haven't nuked the devil yet. So let's...
Give it time.
Oh, my God. All right, TM, TM, TM. the movie where Satan shows up on Earth and we hit him with a nuke, and then you have like mutated
death. See with the circle.
We're good. Yeah.
And so then we die.
So this is Nuclear Mutant Devil, like, by Troma.
Yeah.
It's absolutely a Troma movie.
Maybe he's born with it. Maybe it's the toxic event.
Maybe it's
Maybe.
Toxic Avenger.
A lot of these movies no longer have the devil as the ultimate evil,
mm-hmm.
because a lot of us aren't scared of the devil anymore.
No, it seems pretty right.
You know, like, there's a movie coming out soon where Jack Black plays Satan,
who gets
misspelled letters to Santa from dyslexic kids and decides to be Santa for Christmas Eve. And, like, I think
it's the more metal Nightmare Before
Christmas. Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
That's right. I am the Lord of the Flies.
Honestly, if that's claymated, I'd go.
In a heartbeat.
But yeah, so that's a thing, right? The thing that we are scared of is not the devil, it's the people who are going to use the devil as a tool.
Because arguably people are
to get
way scarier.
Well, in real life, you've only ever seen people do horrible things, so that's easy to be scared of. So,
yeah.
I mean, there was that one time that I saw the devil. I was playing a film.
I was about to make that joke.
And
I mean, he's a
film. Were you in Georgia?
Johnny was better at the film. Objectively better.
And the devil too. He had an ensemble. He wasn't even playing film.
And the devil was the one who was judging the film.
He had an ensemble.
People of the world.
I mean, he even admitted. Johnny was like, yep, and then a group of demons popped up, and they played something like this, and he goes, da-na-na-na-na, and they play that turn.
Wait, what did he do?
Yeah,
and we've never heard the song that the devil played because it just says it sounded something
sounded
like this.
Yes.
It's true.
It's just an approximation. It's just a tribute.
I do like having this conversation, though, kind of like bringing it back. It's kind of hitting me now, like how, especially in religious horror, it's almost always a female protagonist,
mm-hmm.
which is interesting.
I think you get the occasional possession movie. I think, because wasn't there one that had Casey Jones from the Ninja Turtles movie in it as a priest? Am I remembering that right?
What?
That was a fever dream.
There is the child, which may have been him, the child that had the, like, the kid was actually the second coming of Christ.
Yeah, right? That's what movie,
and they
that
had to protect him.
Fucked me up.
Is that what it was?
Yeah. Prophecy movie, maybe. Yeah, that would
be. Oh, yeah, the prophecy has... Casey Jones.
Yeah.
Bless the Child is
what
you were thinking. What you were talking
Bless
about.
Bless the Child, yes.
I saw that movie in the theaters and that.
Yeah.
So what you gotta do if you want to listen to our podcast, we made it very hard for you to do that because once again I have no literature. But this is kind of what happens. Like if you're super into people talking about movies and not quite remembering their titles. Oh god.
Well, that's why we have Charlie on the show, because he remembers all of that.
Yeah, and I try to make up movies to fool him with, and half the time they're real and he's heard of them.
So. You're a witch.
Yeah, manifest me some better movies.
I feel like also we should talk about, though, some of the, you know, non-Catholic, non-Christian. We did somebody insisted that we do a religion and horror episode of our show, and to be dicks, we did no Western religion.
Yeah.
So we did Skeleton Key, right? Because that's got that's beautiful, like, this religion only works if you believe in it, so we have to scare you enough that you believe in it, and then you're fucked. Like, that is some beautiful stuff. That's scarier than the devil any day. Mm-hmm. You had a couple of things, right, that you wanted to talk about.
Well, I mean, sure, but I mean, Ragdoll is another, it's a hidden gem from 1999, but also a similar hoodoo, which is kind of funny. So that could be tied to, like, the American pastime of, like, not liking, like, people with a low SPF.
Right.
Requirement. Because whenever it is low SPF peoples, it's always like hoodoo or like vague.
And they're,
like,
never the hero.
Yeah, they're never the hero. Yeah. And it's like sort of vague, like Caribbean-esque, like ancient spirits. Even going back to Trilogy of Terror, like the Zuzu doll or whatever the fuck it was called.
Yeah.
It was just kind of like, what the fuck? Like, no, like there's black Catholics and there's lots of Latino Catholics.
Lots.
Yeah, it's it might have something to do with the SPF requirements of the average executive. That has something to do with that.
But when they get it, every so often they'll get it really right. Like Ragdoll's about, it starts, it's going to sound terrible, it starts as this aspiring rap artist. Mm-hmm. And then like he steals his grandmother's like hoodoo token to like make him a star. And then stuff goes sideways, gets a little monkey's paw.
Monkey paw type thing,
which
yeah.
does call back to like certain hoodoo and voodoo traits of like sure. the idea right. of like karma, except they didn't call it karma because, you know, they're not from India. So they call right. it some weird colored person word. Ask your bosses on Monday what that is. Like, hey, what's the weird colored people word for karma? Quote. And you can tell them that
probably
I
don't put that in writing at work.
Here's my hood pass. Tier and Cisco, who lives deep in the hood of South Minneapolis?
South Minneapolis.
All right. Man, them streets is rough.
Hell yeah, bro. We got like a golf course. It's not even private. Oh, shit.
From the dirty sidewalks of South Minneapolis. But I live in fucking Fridley. I have nothing. I have nothing to say.
I have nothing.
But even more recently, like the Interview with the Vampire adaptation into a series yeah. is far superior to all the films, except for the soundtrack to Lestat the Vampire, because Aaliyah was amazing.
Agreed.
What's that? Siri was convinced that you were talking to her.
Oh, Siri? How you doing, girl?
Do not romance my watch.
But that one, that tied in a lot. So you still have like the Victorian and European myth of vampirism, mm-hmm. but mm-hmm. it was tied really heavily towards more, again, the ugly, ambiguous, like weird brown people word for karma, horror stuff.
Do we think that maybe part of the religious horror thing kind of falling out of fashion for so long, and you know, we'll see if this trend continues. Like, do we think that just sort of the folk horror trend has stepped in to replace that because people are kind of tired of the same imagery they see all the time in these movies and in real life?
I think
well,
so.
You want something like, a little like, oh, I want a green man in this, or I want some goblins.
We look at like Midsommar.
Yeah. yeah, like the thing that's more scary to us now than like the Catholic Church is what
the pagans
like,
are up to.
White ass, big, 3-teen motherfuckers up in the Appalachians are getting up to. Like, that is scary.
It's arguably way scarier.
Quick plug for a podcast that's not ours. Old Gods of Appalachia is fantastic. You should check that one out. Narrative podcast about creepy shit in Appalachia.
And we've seen also, though, recently a couple of movies that take the familiar kind of possession story and move it into different cultures. Like, The Old Ways was a great one for that, where you have, like, Latin America where, you know, the Catholic tradition and the hoodoo, voodoo, you do what, remind me of a babe, kind of mixed together, right?
Yeah.
Then you have these people who don't quite practice Santeria and they don't quite have a crystal ball, but...
I mean, if they had $1 million.
If they had $1 million, then they'd be rich.
Are you being
and they, but no, so you have like a whole nother set of rituals that people are trying to do. There was one recently that was a Japanese family, but they were like Japanese Catholic.
Oh,
so you end up with like the Roman Catholic idiom transposed onto the Japanese idea of a demon, which is can be a helpful spirit, can be the thing that just flies around as like a head with some entrails underneath it. Like, so many different things can mean, but it doesn't mean like a thing straight from hell.
Right.
But then they're coming at it, you know, like trying to unscrew a Phillips screw with a straight blade. And sometimes it's just slipping. And like that is a fascinating thing.
Japan has such a fascinating relationship with Western religious iconography. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm assuming because we're at a convention, a lot of people here have seen Japanese movies or anime or whatnot. But like watching people have nothing to do with Christianity and then still whip out a cross at some point, and it's effective, but not because it's like their, you know, power of God, their belief in it, which is so often, like, in a Western movie, what does it? It's simply that it is a holy item,
relic.
Mm-hmm. It could just as easily be a Star of David or a Quran or whatever, but it seems like it would just work. It's like, it's more about the item than it is about the belief.
So what we need now is, like, an American...
Ninja?
No, like, an American... an American otaku who is, like... A super fan and is encounters a Japanese evil and has to hold up his like big titty anime girl statue and then like repels, you know, like
You're pitching MC Frontalot meets the yokai.
Right, like slings the waifu at
wow.
the creature, and yeah, because it's a genuine belief.
Yeah, right? For sure.
Should point out, in the new Salem's Lot, the crosses, when they have an effect on vampires,
oh, yeah.
glow orange, and you can actually see that it's been like faith activated.
Yeah.
And then when you face up against the big vampire and you're really freaked out, then it just kind of stops glowing, and then you know you're kind of fucked. So it's like a Tron plus Salem's Lot. Yeah. Hmm. The rest of the movie's kind of dull, but
I liked it.
It was way more exciting than the original Salem's Lot. But so is just touching the fabric of this table. It's soft, you know?
Doing it fleshy. There was another movie, this came out, I think it was 2017, and it's The Ritual.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Damn, yeah. Great.
The Ritual was so unsung, it was so good. It was like Wicker Man if Wicker Man had been good.
What?
Whoa! Hey. I thought we were friends.
Yeah. We're not.
You're talking about Nicolas Cage,
right? Yeah, I'm talking. Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm not talking about the original. I'm not talking about.
Yeah, Christopher Reeve's gonna come back from the dead.
The Nicolas Cage is the best Wicker Man.
He's just punching a Wicker
Man. Oh, we're gonna fight.
But he walks in the bar and she just looks at him and she's like, "All right."
Jimmy was like his solo facial expression.
Dear God. But yeah, I think it is now, like, we need some older gods, you know? Like we're not.
That's, like, more. let's keep the older gods. Like go like really Lovecraft? Pagan. Yes.
Yeah, like Mothra.
Yes.
Mothra.
Those are your two choices. Lovecraft or Mothra.
Yeah. Pick one.
Oh, Mothra comes with two small Japanese women.
It's a pack. Japanese women sold separately.
Oh, that's how they get you.
Sorry, Tennessee.
And saving plots. What else?
Now I want to see Cthulhu versus Godzilla. Like, somebody make this happen.
TM.
Cthulhu is just a kaiju, right?
Basically, yeah.
That's religion and horror.
He's a hentai kaiju.
A hentai kaiju.
Well, that's what Cthulhu is, right?
All kaiju is hentai kaiju if you're brave enough.
Yeah.
And have enough time. Ew.
No.
I'm uncomfortable.
What do we have?
Catholic school, I don't understand a lot of sex.
Again, you made it 6 years, I made it one.
All I have in my brain now is hentai kaiju.
We don't need an episode title.
And now I'm going, don't cry, don't raise your eye. It's only hentai kaiju. Hentai kaiju. Anyway, I think that's our time, right? We only had 8:45.
It's me.
I believe. We have two more minutes. Does somebody want to ask us something like we know?
So going back to exorcisms, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want to speak ill of a terrible thing, but like the last Exorcist movie, kind of the reboot, where they tried to get all the religions together, like why do you think that failed so, like why do you think the public just said, no, we don't want this?
It was a bad movie.
It was so weird how they tried to bring in like every religion in that, and it was just such a misfire.
I think they thought they were doing something real cool. And like doing something real different, being like, we, you know, I don't know, some hippie shit.
It's sort of the comedy, like, rule of like specificity brings yes. humor, and like part of the whole religion thing is like you need the well-defined rules of engagement, otherwise
none of them hold any meaning
at all. Just,
yeah.
But you know? Also, I felt like the advertising made it look a lot like the original Exorcist, and we've all seen that so many times,
right.
and it's
right.
been ripped off so many times that it becomes like it's John Carter syndrome, like. This is not fresh anymore, it's a genre.
Right.
So if you're gonna do something in that vein, you gotta come up with something original. Yeah, back there.
You guys were just touching on it with The Ritual and that Lovecraftian. Like, I've already got a huge list of movies that I'm gonna end up watching, but do you have any more cosmic horror meets religion movie recommendations? Because I have a hard time finding a good one.
Well, the idea of all the Lovecraft stuff being, you know, if you see it, you go mad and can't describe it, makes it pretty tough to film. The H.P. Lovecraft Society did a version of, was it called Cthulhu? That's silent film mm-hmm. in black and white
yes.
that they put together.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. The recent Color Out of Space, speaking of Nick Cage, I actually really enjoyed quite a bit. I think they did the best you could with that idea, if you have to show it on screen. I don't know why purple's the scariest color, but it is.
Well, the Void did a
The Void also gets
that,
there.
The modern.
The Beyond kind of touches on that. Any of the Stuart Gordon shit.
You know, on the kind of like, if you cock your head and squint, It's the Lighthouse.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh yeah, absolutely, 100%.
Very sure. Like, you know, Willem Dafoe's dick is definitely an anti-kaiju.
Yeah. It got that final credit. It's like, and with as the penis.
Do you remember when we watched Antichrist without knowing what it was about?
Yeah, that was awesome.
And by the way, Antichrist not.
That's the first time I saw Willem Dafoe's dick.
Things don't.
Yeah, don't. It's not what you think.
Oh God, one more person. I don't know who was first.
Yep, right there.
All
right,
yes.
Speaking of like folk horror, what did you get? If any of you have seen Anthrum, like the most deadly horror movie.
Ooh.
Have any of you like seen that?
No.
Say it again.
What is it called?
Anthrum. A N T R U M.
I'm going to let everybody else poke around on their phones.
You're a lazy fuck.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Well, it's because one of you can text it to me. No, that's awesome. I love it when we hear about things we don't know. I will have to check that out.
Allegedly the most deadly movie because...
I love hyperbolic marketing.
Like, lacing things with drugs and then people died. It's great.
Fine.
Cool. I'm into it.
All right.
A young boy and girl enter the forest to dig a hole to hell. Said to be a cursed film from the late 1970s. Anthrum examines the horrifying power of storytelling.
Well, yours is better. Mine
oh, wait,
says,
that looks familiar.
Also, we just watched,
the dog.
I don't know, but I want this tattooed on my forehead.
We watched Asriel, which has a very neat post-apocalyptic kind of vibe to it, where there is a like a religious order that, and some unexpected like monsters in the forest, and like, yeah, very cool.
It looks like he has weight.
I think we're at time, though. Folks. Like,
we can hang out in the hallway and talk with people. I don't have
to. Yeah, I would love to.
In case they need to close up the room.
Podcast once again, horror show hot dog.com, or wherever you get your podcasts. Maybe someday I will have like little things to hand out, but it is not this day.
I don't know, you can probably get it.
Thank you so much for sitting here with us, guys. I can't wait to see you.
Thank you.